Welcome back to Roam Spirits, the one-man podcast that's about this guy's journey to happiness through video games, comic books, movies, and relatively anything that's somewhat nerdy. So, for today's episode, I thought because Galaxy of Heroes is going to be releasing a new Galactic Legend, that I decided that I want to talk a little bit about this new character. But not really just in the game per se, but in life, I guess, in movies. And the new Galactic Legend is going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi from Episode 3. So, for me, I don't think there's any way that I'm going to be able to attain this character in the next 10 years in the game. So I thought, why not just, you know, don't just focus on the game itself, focus on the character. And the individual and what this person has done for Star Wars and really what it's done for me to kind of get in enjoyment or really loving this game and loving Star Wars in general. So, Obi-Wan. I have to say he is my second favorite Jedi in probably my third or fourth. I'm going to say fourth probably favorite character in Star Wars. Anakin for me counts twice. Anakin as regular Anakin as a Jedi, and then moving up to where he's going to be Darth Vader. So I'm going to say he's my top two. Next is going to probably be the Mandalorian. I know I shouldn't do that, but I got sucked into that series, and I just think that character is just awesome. So then, of course, my fourth favorite character is going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, this is pretty high standard. I mean, fourth highest for me is pretty crazy in some ways. But I think there's just so much to love about him. But I really do think Episode 3 is by far my favorite. So some of his favorite quotes, which in the end turns into, you know, these memes too, because he's a meme machine right now. I love in Episode 3 where, you know, they're about ready to face Dooku. And Sidious, which we're going to obviously call him Emperor Palpatine, says, "Get help, you're no match, he's a Sith Lord." And he looks at him and he's like, "Sith Lords are our speciality." I just love it because they put some humor in that Episode 3, which is really, really great. And so, obviously, one of the other ones has to be Hello There. When he drops down, ready to fight Grievous, surrounded by all these droids. And I will say, protected by some great plot armor, because I do think it would have been interesting in that if they would have just said, "Yep, kill him," and all of the droids go through and shoot him, and he's dead, and then there you go, that end of movie. But either way, the next one, which in Episode 3 that got me the most, I think, is the scene that, you know, he just defeats Darth Vader slash Anakin, and he's, you know, up there, he's grabbing his lightsaber, you know, says, "You were the chosen one, you were supposed to destroy the Sith, not join them," and then right after that, "You are my brother, Anakin, I loved you." I mean, that emotion right there, just, it's crazy, because the character itself, through all the other media, through the video games, through the comic books, even Episode 1 and 2, there's not a ton of emotion. And I thought that Ewan McGregor did such a great job, you know, playing him in this, and just, you can just feel the anguish, the pain. Like, he didn't want to do that. So, I just love that. So, describing Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I love this because this isn't my words. This is somewhere, I actually got this from the character guide book that I have. Phenomenal pilot who doesn't like to fly. Devastating warrior who'd rather not fight. He is the ultimate Jedi. And when I really think about what a Jedi should be, and, you know, looking at some of the other Jedi over the years, and not just going into the ones that are going to be in these last few movies, but really, I mean, Episode 1, 2, and 3 are the first. It's really the only movies that we see real Jedi in. Of course, you don't really count Rey. Can't really count Luke because he's not technically a Jedi per se, in my opinion. So these are the Jedi that we get to see. I think about Mace Windu and Yoda. when we think about power and you think about the storyline and everything, they are great Jedi. But I really think about their personalities. I mean, Mace took a lot more of Samuel Jackson's mindset and his kind of that, how do I say this, almost like arrogance in his voice and kind of that funniness of Samuel Jackson and just who he is in almost every character that he plays. I definitely see that. But when I think about a Jedi, I mean, Mace really was not, in my opinion, that ultimate Jedi. Didn't have that personality, didn't have the kindness. Like, I just didn't see him as a lovable character. And again, I think that's how he was made. Even with Yoda, like Yoda, I mean, I think back at, you know, the different episodes, the different series, the Clone Wars. I think in the Clone Wars, I guess, the cartoon, he was a little bit more of a stereotypical Jedi. But in the movies, he really wasn't. And I think he had some arrogance as well in there. And then even when he's facing Dooku, like, I thought 100% he would kill Dooku and wouldn't even think twice of it. When Anakin and Obi-Wan fight, I really think that both of them in some ways were holding back. But also, too, I think that at the end, I mean, when talking about the high ground, he was warning them, don't do it. I don't want to do this. I don't see that with Yoda. But I guess, too, when I need to clarify, too, what do I think like the ultimate Jedi is? And I really think about that compassion, the lovingness for other human beings. Being more than just, you know, up on the council, really trying to do what's right. And, you know, like it says in there, he, you know, is a great pilot, but he always says, you know, flying's for droids. He's a great fighter, but doesn't want to fight. I really think when I think of a Jedi, I really think of him as that great Jedi. And I really think that's why he's such a lovable character. And of course, with, you know, Ewan taking that role and being such a great, great person for it. You know, in the first episode, he was kind of an uptight kid, you know, and he's like, great, here comes Qui-Gon again with another batch of people we don't need to save. He acted more like Yoda and more like Mace in the first episode. And then I felt like as he continued on with Anakin, he got more compassion, he got more lovingness. And by the end of it, even though, like, Anakin really turned kind of more grumpy and more, you know, towards the dark side because of Clone Wars, it seemed like with Kenobi, he got more compassion and he got more of a human side to him, which I think is kind of fun. So Obi-Wan in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes as one of the strongest characters in the game now. And it finally makes sense because we do have a general Obi-Wan, which he's a great character and you can use him for a lot of different things, but he's not overpowered. In some of the newer characters that weren't even a tenth as strong as Obi-Wan in the game or in the shows and the movies, really, you know, were as strong. So, I mean, I'm happy he's finally going to be in the game as a strong character like he should be. But I just wish I could obtain them. I mean, these requirements for here, and I know this is a mobile game. I've complained about the money grab with this, and I will always complain about the money grab. But I just want this character, because I know the next one has to be a fallen Anakin or Darth Vader pre-suit. And I just, these are the two characters I really want in this game, and they're probably going to be two characters I probably will never get just because... I guess I can't say probably never will get. The requirements usually are a decent amount of characters to be at least 7 stars. You know, I think it's like 9 to 12 characters normally. And now they have Relic 8, which the only way you can get Relic 8 is by beating the hardest raid. And the guild I'm in and the GP I'm at isn't going to happen. So woe is me, I guess. That's what I'm trying to get at. But either way, after this, I'm going to end up working towards the next Anakin for me, which is going to be the General Anakin Skywalker, so I'm looking forward to that. But with Kenobi, it's going to be pretty exciting for the game, and I think there's a ton of people out there that are super excited for this character. So moving on this little quest or this little story of Obi-Wan, the next thing I think about when it comes to him is nemesises. While there are a lot of S's there, but like the nemesis. Like, when we think about Anakin and we think about Darth Vader, that has to be kind of that arch enemy mindset. Like, that's going to be, when you think about Anakin, you are going to think about Obi-Wan. And when you think about Darth Vader, you think of the first, you know, the first movie and Old Ben. That's what's going to be there. But then I also think about how Clone Wars came out. And even Episode 1, you have Darth Maul. Now, Darth Maul, that goes through from Episode 1 to the whole Clone Wars series and then falls into the Rebels TV show. So, I mean, that one, honestly, is probably the longest, nemesis type of character. But then you also have Ventress. And Ventress is another one when in the comic book, especially the ones that came out before the movies or the shows, the Clone Wars series for that, he is really fighting her, it seems like, every other episode. But lastly, too, when we think about that, then he has General Grievous. So why does Anakin not have as many arch enemies as Obi-Wan? And I even think going back to like the little, I think there's a little series, and I think Dirge also too was a character that we haven't seen in the canon versions yet, but was in kind of like the little cartoons, the little features of it. But then they also too had it in the Clone Wars comic book series. And he was also another nemesis for him. So really seems like he's the perfect candidate to have a nemesis, because I think he has, one, I think he doesn't just kill them. You know, I think with Anakin, I don't think he ever has a problem, especially in the Clone Wars, killing anything. I think if he would have got a hold of Ventress, he would have killed her. If he would have got a hold of Grievous, he would have killed him. And I think it's sometimes, depending on the plot and what's happening, I think with Kenobi, he usually allows them to escape. So maybe that's a flaw for him. But either way. So with Vader, looking back at that one, Old Ben compared to newer Kenobi, obviously Kenobi took out Anakin on the high ground. Remember that? You know, I think it was both legs and an arm. Luckily, he saved the electronic one for some reason. But so in that case, Anakin 0, Kenobi 1. And then it really seems like you don't see anything else for them too until Episode 4, Inside the Death Star, which in some ways, yes, Vader kills him, but Kenobi technically I still think is 2-0, because he intentionally did that so that way he could be part of the Force and then guide Luke through the next few through movies. So that one to me is kind of a nemesis, but in some ways it really isn't. And I think Maul really makes the most sense to be the biggest one. You know, I think about Qui-Gon getting, you know, stabbed and him having to cut Maul in half, and then Maul somehow surviving, which is the craziest thing. I loved in Robot Chicken in the Star Wars special, where they have the guy, he's like the guy cleaning like the Death Star, and all of a sudden here comes, you know, Palpatine hits and splats, and then you see another one where it's the two pieces of Maul. It's hilarious to me just because it's like, what's going on up there? But either way, I did digress. So this one goes through and it starts with Maul, you know, in Episode 1, and then when we get to the Clone Wars, he survives, and then somehow again, he's fighting Kenobi. But I do think it's pretty interesting at the end of, you know, at the end of Season 7 when it's Ahsoka versus Maul. Again, this goes back to it where Kenobi had the opportunity to go face Maul. And he doesn't see him as a nemesis, in my opinion. He's another person, which I think is another great mindset towards that ultimate Jedi, because he doesn't have to go fight him. He goes to Ahsoka and says, hey, make sure he's dead, because, you know, obviously it's hard to kill him. Funny, but really in the end, he doesn't have an emotional attachment to it, but all these other characters do to him. And with Ventress, you know, looking back, and again, it's tough for me because some stuff isn't canon. When I think about the Clone Wars, you know, Dark Horse comics, you know, and there she really does fight him all the time. In the long run, I think he ends up letting her go. That it's a little bit different than in the Clone Wars, the TV series, but still very similar. That had a more of a heated battle, and even the books too. It was a little bit more, you know, of a rivalry there. And then lastly, it's going to be General Grievous. Now, we know kind of what happens with that one, and again, I don't want to be negative, but I was always disappointed in that fight scene. I know Kenobi's great, but again, the plot armor is the biggest winner in that scene, because I loved General Grievous in those little short Star Wars clips, you know, that were on Cartoon Network. You can watch it now on Disney Plus. And he was, you know, BA in that. Like, he was Grievous. He was a Jedi killer. And they really didn't do a great job in the movies to show him as a Jedi killer. Think about it. He drops down and says, "Hello there." And they fight. And he basically takes off two hands within less than 15 seconds. And then Grievous basically realizes he isn't gonna win and then runs away. Even though I will say, Episode 3 probably had the best camera work and the best tension photography, maybe, if I want to say that. The zoom in on Grievous's eyes as they're both holding onto the lightsaber, kind of fighting back and forth with her, which again I think is unrealistic. I think Grievous would have totally outpowered him. But again, that scene was a blast. And then, of course, he runs away. They finally, at the hangar, he's trying to escape. And so uncivilized will always stick with me. He doesn't win by lightsabers. He wins by not really wanting to kill him, but using the easiest and best way to do it. I think that's always exciting for me. And again, makes me really like the character even more. So if we really think about a nemesis, and again, I won't put too many more S's on there because it doesn't sound right. I really think Maul makes the most sense. And Darth Vader, not so much. But going back to Rebels, and when the final scene where Maul finds him, you know, and attacks him and is mocking him about how he's living and what he's doing and how old he is now, you know, and at this point, it's no longer Obi-Wan. There's no more, you know, jokes about it. Like, his life is different. It's about protection. It's about, you know, doing the things he needs to help Luke. And I thought it was so interesting because you could see that. And with Maul, he still has that hatred and that passion to kill him. And when it finally starts, and I think in the old days, if it's Obi-Wan, he would have probably stayed in his normal stance and fought him, you know, for a while to kind of get it to the point where, you know, he maybe can teach him not to attack or something. I don't know. Maybe being a little bit more passive. But in this one, you know, he takes on Qui-Gon's lightsaber stance and he's drawing him in so he can kill him. And it really makes me think it's just a different character. Like, this is a different mindset than when he was in the Clone Wars or in Episode 3 even. I think Anakin, the killing, or thinking he was going to kill Anakin, you know, was a big deal. And I think that showed to me. I think those two scenes really play on each other, because he should have walked up to Anakin, activated the lightsaber through his head. I mean, again, plot obviously wouldn't work that way, but I really think in this case that he's thought about it. He's thought about it for years as he's out there in the desert, and he should have killed Anakin. And in the Kenobi book, he talks a little bit, like he's in the cantina, you know, he's kind of watching Luke across the street, kind of doing some protecting. And then all of a sudden on the TV, here comes, you know, Darth Vader, and he's like, "Oh crap, wait, he's dead. This must be, like, how did this happen?" And I think at that moment, he's like, "Okay, if I'm ever in this situation again, I have to end it." And Story continues. We have that fight scene, and he switches to Qui-Gon's stance. Maul gets overconfident, goes to do the same move that killed Qui-Gon, and of course Obi-Wan is ready for it and ends up putting a lightsaber through his chest/stomach. And you know, the way that he caresses him as he goes down, says, it's kind of weird to say caress, but he knew it was the right thing to do. He had to do it, but he still regretted it. Makes me even like him even more. And then, of course, the first thing he does is he goes and he checks on Luke and he realizes it's completely fine. And then he comes back and in the best, I don't know, description of who he is, he honors Maul by basically burning his body and, you know, having a funeral for him. So I really like that. I really do. And I think that just speaks to this character. And that's why, Capital Gains, you should make it to where it's easier to get this character. I don't want to spend $10,000. I want to be able to have this character. So I know you're not listening, but still, please do that. All right, couple more things on Obi-Wan for me. I've always been kind of getting into these debates with other people about, you know, why didn't Obi-Wan say something to Anakin about Padme? He obviously knew. And later in season 7, they kind of, in the Bad Batch episode, they kind of show like, hey, how's Padme doing? You know, so he knows obviously what's going on. You know, and I always get in these debates because why did he let this happen? And honestly, and I've said this in another podcast episode, if that relationship would have never happened, I don't think Anakin would have ever fully turned to the dark side. So you can blame Obi-Wan, but you can also too say that obviously it's the plot, so that's what they have to do. But I think thinking about it and going back to it, I think the main reason he didn't rat out Anakin was because, one, it made him happy. I think that he truly loved Anakin, and you know, he wanted Anakin to be happy, and he knew that that love was there. But also because he understood that need for that love, and he had a love interest. You know, obviously he didn't do the same thing Anakin did, and he didn't act on it, but I bet there was some regret there. And with Satine from Mandalore, you know, I think that, you know, that really set him up to really be in a setting to where he understood Anakin and understood that side of that love piece, which I really think really truly, I think Anakin talks about it in episode 2, where they're saying, well, you know, Padme's like, well, I thought you can't love. And he kind of describes, you know, true conditional love, you know, basically is, you know, encouraged. But I don't think a lot of Jedi really understood love. And I think that's why a lot of them had their downfall, in my opinion. So I'm not a Sith, but hey, that's what it is. So the love interest, like I said, it's, you can debate a lot of things with it, but I do think that also meant that he understood, and when he said he loved Anakin like a brother, he really did, because he understood love. And that's why he kind of allowed Anakin to be how he was. But on the other hand too, he understood Anakin. And there was one scene in episode 3, you know, when they get out of the council chamber, and they're talking about Anakin's new role where he has to spy on Palpatine. And I think that point is really when Anakin stopped trusting the council completely. And they talk about it later on too, about how Anakin cares about his friends, not as much about the Jedi. And so that trust there was broken with the council, because Palpatine was his friend, you know, but I really think Kenobi should have understood that. And, you know, that's the part where I think in some ways, the council itself was not the best influence in Kenobi, but if that was just Kenobi and Anakin, I don't think that would have happened. But again, you know, it is kind of where it is. But so Obi-Wan Kenobi does have a new show out. I wonder which, you know, is episode 3 still going to be my favorite? You know, is this new character going to make it to where I really enjoy it? Now, the book for Kenobi, where it's right after episode 3, to me, it was kind of a slow read. I'm debating on getting an Audible, so that way I listen to it. Maybe I'll get more, you know, into it. But if that's going to be kind of the mindset, passive and maybe not wanting to get involved. Like, I want to see some lightsaber. I want to see, maybe Anakin and Darth Vader. I mean, I want to see something, but I am really looking forward to it. I will say with Ewan McGregor, I will watch anything. There's even one movie where it's called The Island. Scarlett Johansson's in it too. I just love that movie. It's about cloning. And I think I wouldn't have watched it if it wasn't for episode 3. So I will watch, this new old man Kenobi here, but I do think it's going to be pretty interesting to see kind of that shift and who he was. And I hope there's still that comedic approach to it, but I do want him to have that mindset like he had in Rebels, and prepare to take out a Maul. So great. That is what I have today when it comes to our wonderful Kenobi. Again, Capital Games, please make this a little bit easier for me to get sometime down the line, because this is one of my favorite characters of all time in Star Wars. And I already have both Mandos, so that means that I have one, two, and three. So I'd love to get four. Again, this isn't the Sesame Street, and we're not counting one, two, three, four, five, or doing letters, but still, you get what I'm saying. So please, Capital Gains, help me out here. Well, thank you again for listening to this episode. I do want to go through and let you know there are some links in both my bio and into here with going through this. And I want to do a little bit more when it comes to, I want to say social media, but I do have, a website out there, which is going to be in my link. And also, too, it's going to be attached to my blog. And that one is as much not as nerdy, but showing kind of my mindset of how life is. One blog is me talking about my walk through the woods and how my mind goes towards those damn spiders making those webs going across my face all the time. While another one is gonna be basically about time and how I wake up. And my last one is gonna be about basically somehow I'm gonna die when it comes to a rope. I just don't know exactly how just yet. So if you get a moment, take a look at that. I'd love to go through and provide anything I can to help your day. Maybe something funny, something you can escape for. So if you like it, great. Send a like my way. If you're interested in donating to the podcast or to the blog, there's multiple ways to do so. So I appreciate it. And until next time, keep on collecting those shards of Cad Bane so you can go through and get your Kenobi. So good luck.